Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, the church remembers a faithful man of God, a man named Saint Timothy, a man whom the Holy Spirit inspired two letters by the hand of Saint Paul, or by his dictation. Saint Timothy was a man who grew up in the faith, at least he was taught by his mother and his grandmother, the faith in the Messiah who is to come. But Saint Timothy had a Greek father. And because of this, he was not fully given over to the Lord, as is evidenced by the fact that he is uncircumcised. Because, as a faithful mother and a faithful father are called by God to do in the Old Covenant, at 8 days old, those baby boys would be circumcised, that covenant would be entered into with God. I know oftentimes I hear people say, hey, I don't want to choose for my kids. I want to let them choose for themselves someday when they get around to it. It's baptism. It is washing by the word and the command of God. We're not even talking about cutting flesh. These faithful Christian mothers and fathers would actually allow their boys to have their flesh cut to show that they were devoting this son to the Most High God. I hope that those parents who have decided not to instill the faith in their children, but rather say, I want them to choose for themselves, do the exact same thing across the board. That they never turn on a television set during a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game or whatever else of games that they might like. That they would never share a single stat of any of their favorite players. That they would never wear a jersey around them, that they would never talk about it, never turn it on the radio, never take them to a game, none of it. But that's not the reality, is it? Parents do instill in their children what is important to them. But his father was a Greek. And so, unlike Titus, St. Paul does have Timothy circumcised as an adult male, in order to show that he has submitted to that old covenant, that he was raised in that old covenant. But circumcision is no longer a requirement for the Christian. It is not required. But baptism is. And so we rejoice that we have something better than a cut, better than a circumcision made with hands. Rather, we have the gift of washing and renewal in water and his word. The words that St. Paul write to Timothy are absolutely relevant for us today. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Pastors are called to be in God's word. And because we so love God's word, that is why we encourage you over and over to be in it as well. In fact, in our reading today at home, as we're following along the reading plan for the year that we handed out, once again, I remarked that I had forgotten something that was brought up in the reading. As many times as I've read that passage, I forgot that God commanded that no one was allowed to touch Mount Sinai, or he should be stoned or shot with arrows. I forgot that. Now, is it necessary for salvation? No, because if it was necessary for salvation, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have let me forget. But you can read the Bible over and over and over again and still get beautiful nuggets of wisdom and of God speaking to his people. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. That word long-suffering also goes by another name, patience. However, if you've ever prayed for patience, you also understand why it's called long-suffering. The Lord absolutely does test you to hone that skill of suffering, that long-suffering, that patience. At the seminary, we were told to teach, 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 teach. And so that is exactly what we strive to do. We want you to see the beauty that is God's Word. We want you to see the beauty that is being a part of this church, this confession. St. Paul continues, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." During the middle of the 20th century and the early 20th century, many Christian churches began to question the authority of God's Word. Is the Bible God's Word, or does it simply contain God's Word? Are we bound to it in its completeness, or can we pick and choose what is no longer relevant for us today? And sadly, many church bodies began to allow the devil to twist God's Word in their doctrine and to give up the beautiful Word of God. Our own synod, the Missouri Synod, went through that during the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We saw faithful men begin to start teaching this way. There were men at the seminaries, at the senior colleges, teaching men who were going to be pastors that Jonah wasn't swallowed by a fish. And even worse, that Jesus' bones were rotting in the desert. Can you imagine something so blasphemous than a pastor teaching men who are going to be other pastors that Jesus' bones are rotting in the desert? But that was happening. And it led to a huge shakeup in our synod called Seminex. This year, we remember the 50th anniversary of that event in 1974, when many of the profs and many of the students left St. Louis Seminary that day because they were cracked down on. Because the president of our synod had heard about this and said, "This is absolutely unacceptable. We stand on the Word of God and its sufficiency." Many of the men who left that day chose not to come back. But some that were caught up in that spirit did, and they returned and they repented and they remained pastors in the synod. But those men who decided, "No, we want to leave, who are you to tell us that we must be bound in this way," formed what was called the American Evangelical Lutheran Church, the AELC. And in 1988, confirmed with two other church bodies in the United States that they should all be one because they believed the same doctrine. That split from our church body merged with the ALC, the E, and the LCA to become the ELCA in 1988. Part of a split from our church body, men who refused to be subordinate to the Word of God. Men who believed that God's Word was no longer sufficient, that we now know better, that not just men, as God had set apart, but also women. And now we get to the places that we're at in the ELCA. We are partly to blame. I thank God, though, that we were purified of this and that we corrected the course by the grace of God, and that now our pastors are all taught that the Bible is God's Word in its entirety, and we swear to uphold it, whether people want to hear it or not. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I'm going to share a stat with you today, and I'm going to share it again on Sunday because I believe that it is relevant to be said more than just tonight. And that is the fact that there have been 40 million people that have left the church in the last few years. 40 million. And what that means is, as they were studying this, that people who used to go to church at least once a month stopped going even once a year. 40 million adults in America. To help you understand just how drastic that is more than all the people who turned to Christ during the First Great Awakening, during the Second Great Awakening, and all of Billy Graham Crusades combined. More adults have left the church in the last few years than were brought through those great things. This is huge. What causes this? Our message has not changed. We are sinners, and we need Jesus. But people don't want a message where they're told that they're sinners and that they need Jesus. They want teachers who will tell them you're great just the way you are. You don't need to change. Be who you are. Love who you want to love. Follow your heart. That's the message, not of the true gospel, but of the devil. Jesus says, love me. Serve me. And then you can love and serve your neighbor. So many have turned aside to these fables. This paganism. A paganism that was fought and defeated by the message of Jesus Christ is finding a comeback. People no longer believe that the church's message is sufficient for them. And so they turn back to what their pagan great forefathers believed, rather than rejoicing in what their recent fathers believed. Their grandparents, their great-grandparents. They turn back to the Norwegian myths, to the Greek myths, to the Roman myths. They add to their worship as though you can somehow worship at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. They believe that they can add tarot or yoga or crystals or all these sorts of things to their faith and it won't hurt them. But what did God declare? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. But Lord, we like our gods. We enjoy listening to things that are actually not in agreement with you. We enjoy being told that we don't have to change, that we don't have to devote our lives. We enjoy believing that we can just kind of pick up at the church whenever we want rather than being devoted to you by hearing your word, by repenting, by receiving your gifts. Yes, we are still in that time, aren't we? 40 million people. And it hurts. Because at the end of the day, as a Christian, you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And if you love someone, you want and you desire for them to believe that as well. And you will do everything you can to let them know about it. You be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You devote yourself to God's word. You devote yourself to your brothers and sisters in Christ as you worship the one true God. You devote yourself to giving your children, your grandchildren, Jesus. Fulfill what God has given for you to do. And know that you don't do it on your own. For he is with you every step of the way, as he was with St. Paul, as he was with St. Timothy, as he was with every faithful pastor that has come since, and for every faithful pastor that he will raise up. There are many faithless pastors and teachers out there that preach a message that is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn from that. Invite your friends who do not have a church to come with you. Say, I have a place for you. And that place confesses Jesus. This is what you need more than anything, more than all the books, more than all the medication, more than all the drugs or the alcohol or the pornography or all of those things. Cast them aside. Turn instead to Jesus, the only hope of salvation. That is the message that has been proclaimed from the pulpit of St. Peter's for 160 years, and Lord willing, it will be the message that will continue until Jesus Christ returns. The church sings. Preach you the word and plant it home, and never faint the harvest, Lord, who gave the sower seed to sow, will watch and tend his planted word. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.